The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up? This is Keyshawn Vaughn, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. And today, what fortune have we? Oh! One of our favorite guests, one of my best friends in the industry, one of my great friends, just IRL. His name is Matt Kelly. You know him as the Podfather. You can find him on Twitter at @fantasy_mansion. He's the boss of all things at Player Profiler at RotoWonderWorld.com. He's got the draft kit out right now. He's got the Breakout Finder. He's got the Dynasty Deluxe. He's got the, Matt Kelly, what the hell do you not have going on, brother? Awesome to see you.
We, Alex, are the fortunate ones.
We are the fortunate ones. Because today what we're going to be doing is we are going to be weaving a magical fairy tale, a fairy tale of NFL divisions, fairy tales of various storylines in the NFL as they have to do with fantasy football. We'll go division by division. I'll have one. Matt will have one. But Matt, just before we get started on the meat and potatoes of this thing, tell the people what you got going on at Player Profiler. Let them know what's going on. Give them the links. Give them the hits.
PlayerProfiler.com is the place to go to get the information you need on players. Right. So whether it be advanced metrics, whether it be takes, you name it, there's not an advanced stat that you need that is unavailable at playerprofiler.com. So you go to playerprofiler.com, you can get everything from the player's workout metrics, all their college stats, their advanced on-field efficiency metrics, everything is there. And then we have all these advanced tools, whether it be our draft kit, whether it be our data analysis tool, whether it be our Dynasty Deluxe package, which is the full suite of Dynasty tools. We'll be rolling out a DFS package soon. That's the next thing we're working on. So we are working very intensely at Player Profiler. You and I have talked about this. You make hay when the sun is shining. Now is the time. People need fantasy tools right now, and we are building fast and furious everything that you need. And it's very easy to use. So it's a very easy drag drop. We give you the data so that you can build your own projections and rankings. Or if you just want the answers to the test, we also give you the answers to the test as well. It's all there, as well as our podcast. You follow me at @fantasy_mansion. That's the place to go to see everything we're doing.
Yeah, man. And you guys go do it. I mean, most of y'all already know Matt, but you guys know these guys are like brothers to us in the industry, and we really respect everything that they do. So, Matt, we're going to get started. We're going to go division by division.
And I got Adam Trautman just now in a league, just so you know.
In which round and in what kind of league?
In a best ball league against a number of heavy hitters in the industry.
Just tight end premium?
A heavy hitter underdog league.
Okay.
So it's a best ball, draft master, half PPR, and I only drafted two tight ends. Normally, in a lot of these best ball leagues where you can't access the waiver wire, you're drafting three tight ends, But I said, you know what? I'm such a believer in Adam Trautman. And the reason I bring up Adam Trautman is because we discovered him together at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
And it was just fantastic to talk to him and to watch him just completely kill it.
Yeah.
At the Senior Bowl in a way that we haven't seen since Dallas Goedert. And he happened to be best comparable to Dallas Goedert. And we crunched all the numbers.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? We talked about it
while we were watching him. Beauty is with a guy, with some of these guys like Adam Trautman, the beauty is that their stylistic comps align with their actual analytic comps. And when that happens, when a guy looks like he's super quick and explosive, and then the metrics come in and, oh, he is that. Right. So when these guys line up, when everything lines up, mm-hmm. and what you see on the field at the Senior Bowl, for example, is reflected in their workouts at the combine, for example, and is also backed up by their resume at the college level, where he's putting up double digit touchdowns at Dayton and is basically their number one receiver. You're like, okay, great. And then we go to the Senior Bowl and we watch them in blocking drills, and they're pancaking these first round picks,
stodgy old football guy down there on the sidelines with his wet cigar, just saying like, I love the looks of this guy. Yeah. So like the NFL industrial complex.
Now the NFL, he's mm-hmm. checking the boxes. He's hitting all the notes.
Yeah.
Right. He is just hitting all the notes in the orchestra pit. He's hitting all the right notes that the conductor mm-hmm. wants.
Yes.
To, get drafted on day two, to come in, and now all of a sudden he's an effective blocker. He's catching everything, had the highest catch rate in the NFL among tight ends last year. So he's proven to the coaches that he can be this multi-purpose weapon at tight end, and you just play him as a two-way player. Don't need to worry about a move tight end. You just play Adam Trautman. And so when we see all of this come together, the moon, the stars align, then we can have the confidence in an underdog draft, for example, to say, well, I'm going to draft Adam Trautman and then one other tight end.
Oh, yeah.
And those are it. That's it. I'm good. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to stay pat, because while maybe others in the industry feel like there's uncertainty,
they need a third.
Adam Trautman, they might go maybe pick up a third tight end because they're just not sure. Like, maybe what we saw last year translates into this year. And we're like wagging finger like, no, mm-hmm. there's no maybe of Adam Trautman. Okay. Adam Trautman is a stud, and he's doing things earlier than Dallas Goedert did. And so if all the reasons that you like Dallas Goedert, you should be loving Adam Trautman and more.
You should be caping up for Adam Trautman, because Adam Trautman legit wears a cape. He's a superhero, man.
Just get ready. Get ready. I mean, people are like, who's the next tight end to enter the big three? As if they saw like Darren Waller coming. No one saw Darren Waller coming, right? George Kittle was a day three pick. Okay. So you didn't see him coming either. You could pretend like you did. Oh, he's an incredible athlete. Okay. I understand that. But until we saw it, we didn't know it with Adam. With Kittle, we haven't quite seen it yet, but we're telling you, like, get ready. Like, there's two candidates this year who's going to move into the big three. If there's someone's going to get bumped out, someone has to move in. It's either going to be TJ Hawkinson or it's going to be Adam Trautman. Longer term, in Dynasty especially, knowing that's the type of ceiling this player has, that's the guy you got to go get.
There's a million things. You brought up TJ Hawk, and that's something. There's a million things I always want to talk to you about, man. But just quickly, I know that's best ball. So in best, I've been so busy with running these simulations using the redraft cheat sheet and using the redraft ADP from all the different sites, ESPN, CBS, Yahoo, and NFL.com, which is different from best ball ADP over on Underdog, and especially at tight end, because you don't have the waiver wire available to you in these leagues. And so you can't just completely punt away tight end. And it makes these guys have to go earlier. So
yeah,
I'm going to
go earlier. What I'm saying for people in traditional leagues,
right,
is this, the larger point for the wider audience for traditional leagues is you can wait on tight end. If you feel like you get value on TJ Hawkinson, please take him, because like he has no target competition. And he was just a bigger, better, faster, it just basically an upgraded version, just hit the upgrade button on George Kittle at Iowa. That was TJ Hockenson. So
before Kyle Pitts, he was the best tight end prospect we've really seen.
Like I think he's a better tight end prospect. If I were starting a franchise today, I would rather have Hockenson than Pitts. That's how good Hockenson is. So I would love Hockenson if you can get him at value and there's not a big trade off in the middle rounds where there's a running back. Okay, maybe you want Trey Sermon. He has RB1 upside. Okay, go ahead and try. But once those guys are off the board, yes, TJ Hockenson. But if maybe you're drafting a quarterback, okay, I want to make sure I want Russell Wilson. I think he's going to be fully unlocked this year. Okay, go ahead. Wait, because Troutman's out there and Troutman will be, the perfect, I haven't seen a late round tight end that's aligning so perfectly to enter maybe the top six tight ends this year while getting him at, the last tight end drafted in your league. That it's just a great opportunity this year for Troutman, because this is the last year. Next year in 2022, it's going to be a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, so totally. This is the year that we have these rare opportunities where we've seen the guy at the Senior Bowl, the level of certainty on a late round guy breaking out. I've never been this certain at any player at any position. And it's just a nice thing to do. So yes, you could draft Kittle. Yes, you can draft Waller, but the trade-off in those rounds is so severe that it's just this great gift that you can get Troutman. And sure, you can move up a round and get him a round ahead of ADP. You're still better off that way, because it doesn't even matter who the quarterback is. If it's Jameis Winston, then it's going to be more prolific. And if it's Taysom Hill, I think Troutman's not quite as attractive, but he sits in that number three receiver role. I think he's going to have more targets than both Traquan Smith and Marquez Callaway.
I mean, who's going to have it? Yeah, dude. That's
what you want. A guy that's in the top three in the target distribution. And not only do we believe he's in a vacuum, incredibly talented, but also, in that rarefied air of, we know coming into the season, he's top three in the target pecking order.
I just got finished just now pulling in all the defensive, the projected defensive starter data for our tight end strength of schedule tool. Like the Saints, not a completely high end projected strength of schedule, but a better than average strength of schedule. Do you know who has the best strength of schedule on this? It looks like Noah Fant is just set up to absolutely murder. Maybe we could just start. I know you're heading up to Maine. And you are the king of the North, as far as I'm concerned.
I am the king of the North. I'm the king of the North. I'm also the king of destroying other people's show sheets and whatever plans they have for the show. We just rip up that show sheet. But I am a raging hypocrite. In that, if you come on my show, we're gonna have a show sheet that is the most intricate, detailed show sheet. We're gonna go to every question, even if it takes 3 hours. But when I come on other people's show, I don't care about their show sheet. I don't bother with their show sheet. I run the show I want to run.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's talk Noah Fant. Noah Fant's very interesting in that he did share that Iowa passing game with TJ Hockenson. In that final year, TJ Hockenson was more productive than Noah Fant. And an interesting thing happened. John Elway and now company, because he's now long technically not the general manager, I understand.
Right.
But they brought in Akui Bunim. So now they have Akui Bunim, who was commanding a similar target share for a set of weeks last year to Noah Fant. It was very frustrating if you had Noah Fant. Remember that? Remember the Akui Bunim? It was annoying.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, especially the few end zone targets. I mean, he siphoned off a few of those.
You have to hope that Akui Bunim is not 100%, but Akui Bunim was incredibly athletic, like shockingly so. Like ran as fast as Noah Fant, but Noah Fant was the first round pick, so people don't think of Noah Fant as being a similar athlete to Akui Bunim. Like they think it's different guys, but really they're similar dudes athletically. And I just don't see how Noah Fant can break through in that offense with Courtland Sutton coming back. He doesn't project. If you're telling me, okay, you're the number three in New Orleans with Jameis Winston, that's different than being the number three with another tight end who also has an exciting and explosive talent profile.
And it's like, and everybody wants KJ Hamler to break out, and everybody said, like,
people want to break out. Yeah. The most productive receiver last year was Tim Patrick. So we're pretending Tim Patrick doesn't exist. Right. It's just like the same thing with some of these ambiguous target shares, like in Indianapolis. We have to first, what the fantasy analysts always do, which is this sleight of hand trick that drives a lot of sharp people crazy, is that they first start by dismissing the guy that's inconvenient. So Zach Pascal's inconvenient, pretend he doesn't exist. Okay? Right?
Well, Tim Patrick's inconvenient. You can't do that,
Tim Patrick's just inconvenient when you're running projections. Just pretend he doesn't exist. There's no Tim Patrick. Well, no, there is a Tim Patrick.
Those are some wacky projections, right? Those are some wacky projections.
What are we talking about here? And now Courtland Sutton demands alpha targets. I mean, if any receiver in the league looks like a proper alpha other than DK Metcalf, it's Courtland Sutton, right?
Jesus, he does. Yeah.
And so you have Courtland Sutton is an alpha's alpha. And you have Jerry Jeudy, who was number six in the league in air yards last year, which is crazy, but also understandable because Drew Lock just pushes the ball downfield so recklessly. But you can't have it both ways, right? If you're Jerry Jeudy, you're like, oh, it'd be nice if we had Teddy Bridgewater and the targets would be more accurate. Yeah, but you're not getting the air yards you were getting with Drew Lock. So there's a compromise there. So every time I look at Denver, it feels like there's a compromise that needs to be made in order for anything to make sense rationally. Plus you have the fact that they have an above average defense and an above average running game. So you know that, and this is an old school philosophy front office and coaching staff. So it's not like they're going to be opening up the offense and going 70% pass. They're not going to do that.
Oh, Fangio? No. Yeah.
They're not. No, it's not happening. So now you start to think, okay, the defensive head coach. Okay, wait, what? How? Why?
Who's like coaching for his job this year? He's not going to get away from his founding principles.
I love Courtland Sutton. I think Jerry Jeudy is exciting. He exceeded expectations last year. I know he dropped a lot of passes and 9 fantasy points a game, not impressive, but those air yards were hella impressive. And I love Noah Fant. I mean, who doesn't love his athletic profile? He's 98th percentile burst score, agility score, just across the board.
I mean, with Noah Fant, it's just like how many tight ends are like him in the league where they get the ball in their hands and they're a legitimate threat to take it to the house.
Just gone. He's just gone. And then now you're telling me, oh, well, he has the easiest tight end schedule. It's all lining up and it seems great. But the math on the target distribution doesn't add up with any of these characters. No one. The only guy on Denver where I can see someone at the end of the season going, oh, this was a critical pick that I made.
Javonte.
This made all the difference. Is Javonte Williams. Yep. Because there the competition is just Melvin Gordon. And one of the key data points that we look at in the mini camp news reports. So you first start off by crumpling up pieces of paper and throwing them away. Most of those minicamp reports are actually just speculation that is masquerading as reporting. So fuck that. You know, I don't care what beat reporter X thinks.
Especially when a lot of them don't really understand too much about what's even going on out there.
I mean, if they were running projections, right? Mm-hmm. If the beat reporters were running projections, the team would be throwing the ball 900 times. Right. Like they can't even do math.
Yeah,
right. It's like John Gruden. Like it's like, no, you don't. That's not possible, John. Yeah. All your players can't have 1,000 yards. It's not possible. Do the math.
Or we want to get each running back 20 touches.
It doesn't make sense, right. John. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. You go back to school. Right. So but with a Javonte Williams, see, Melvin Gordon doesn't report to minicamp because his feelings were hurt that Javonte Williams was drafted. Understandable, right? If Roto Underworld drafted a co-host for the Mind of Mansion show that I host by myself for the last however many years and didn't ask my permission or tell me about it, I'd be really hurt. It would hurt my feelings a lot.
Well, you should just fire the guy who did it.
Well, I should fire that. I would then have to fire the guy that did that or fire myself. It'd be a very, it would be a real meta mess of a situation there.
Some kind of Inception. Kind of.
Right. I'd be Inception myself. And then yes, it'd be in a dream state. It would be confusing.
Sure.
So a couple reports really stood out to me. In the minicamp. Number one was Melvin Gordon missing minicamp and then just letting Javonte Williams establish himself with no other running back other than Mike Boone as a comparison point, number one. But even more than that was at least Melvin Gordon was a veteran, right? And it was understandable that he was frustrated.
It is.
So and he's also has a resume where he was a top five fantasy producer for like multiple years, once a full season, once for eight games. And then you take another running back where there's no excuse for that shit. And that's Keyshawn Vaughn. So this actually, I rarely ever get upset. I rarely ever get triggered or tilted, but I was offended. I was legitimately offended that a player like Keyshawn Vaughn that has everything to prove on the team that demands that you just take your strength and conditioning and preparation to the next level, that he would skip while the Leonard Fournettes and the Ronald Joneses and the Giovanni Bernards show up.
Like, who the hell does he think he is?
What the fuck was that?
And honestly, what the fuck is his agent doing?
What are you doing in general? There's no excuse. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my grandmother died. So? Your grandmother would want you to have a career in the league.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars for your family are at stake. I'm sure your grandmother would want you to skip it to go to camp. There's nothing that could happen that could keep you from camp with Tom Brady. He's good enough. Tom Brady's... You're too good, but Tom Brady's not. What? How? I was flabbergasted when I heard that. I was like, are you kidding me? And so of all the offseason news, that report dropped him in our dynasty rankings more than any other player dropped because of any news item.
Well, I mean, condolences to his grandma. Jesus. I mean, that's all.
I made that up. Anything you can think of isn't a good enough excuse.
Sure. Yeah.
There's no excuse.
He should have been the first one there.
He should have been the first one at camp.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even a football guy. I'm a numbers guy. And even I was like, Jesus Christ, Keyshawn, get your head out of your ass. Meanwhile, Mac Jones is showing up an hour early to practice and just – doing these lunges back and forth on the field for hours,
of course,
waiting for the team to show up. Like, you should be that guy if you want a career. And it's not like, oh, well, you know, he cares about other things in life than money, right? Or, you know, wait a second. Do you know what you can do with millions of dollars? Like, there's so much at stake, right? It's like the wealth for your entire family is at stake. This is the year too. This is the make or break year. You're washed out if you fail this year. So on so many levels, I was just so flabbergasted.
I wanted to start out with the AFC North since you're the king of the North, but we've already gone AFC West. We've talked Adam Troutman. We've done
NFC South.
Yeah, so
we've done AFC West. We just did NFC South.
Yeah, so we can mark. We doubled up on the NFC South.
This is how I ruined the show.
Yeah.
I ruined it where I doubled up on the NFC South. I'm sorry, but I had to get out. I had to talk about Keyshawn Vaughn because we saw him at the Senior Bowl.
Right.
So I'm all about relevancy.
Right.
When I think of Allen and I think
and
I think of the trash man, and I think of Alex Dunlap, I think the Senior Bowl. You guys are the master of the Senior Bowl. So I'm thinking Troutman and I'm thinking this goddamn Keyshawn Vaughn.
And you're talking bullshit news reports, ones you can trust and ones you can't trust. And the ones that you can trust is the concrete information.
If you're not dropping Keyshawn Vaughn after hearing that, then you might as well just not ever read a news report for the rest of your life.
AFC North, as I read the news reports, or the fake news reports, as you might say, where it's a writer opinion Rider Opinion masquerading as some kind of actual report from the team.
Yes.
And so here's what it is with in Cincinnati with basically one of the guys from The Athletic saying that he thinks that it could be a situation where there's five players on that team that get 50 catches and that the target's saturation is not going to all be there. When I think of five, so it's the three wide receivers.
And he's talking about – this is an Uzoma take. This is how I saw Uzoma start to get drafted in the Scott Fish Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Uzoma's ADP spike. And we have it. We have the underdog ADPs listed right on Player Profiler, and you can see the little trend. And then Uzoma, just his trend line is just straight up. It's like a hockey stick because some guy at The Athletic said he's going to get a bunch of targets. And that's true. That's true. I think Uzoma is a sneaky tight end to add, just like he was last year. But the targets are ultimately going to consolidate around those three guys. The big three are all values as far as I'm concerned. And I love T. Higgins. He was super efficient last year. I think Ja'Marr Chase, one of the best wide receiver prospects we've seen. And Tyler Boyd's a value because the beauty of what Zach Taylor does. Also, we saw Zach Taylor at the Senior Bowl. I talked to him.
Friend of the show.
Yes. Yep. Friend of the Sonic Truth podcast, Zach Taylor.
Hey, you can tell these ex quarterbacks, these quarterbacks, man, that guy said, like, this is Zach Taylor. You're listening to the Sonic Truth Dynasty podcast.
It's like,
that's a guy who said, like, you know, Red 11, Jet, you know, Jet Flight 2. He's, you tell him one thing once, he spits it right back.
There's a difference when you're talking to a Jalen Hurts or you're talking to a Zach Taylor or there's a difference between those guys.
Do you remember
guys.
Chris Polk, I couldn't get an ID out of him after 10 tries. I just finally had to give up.
Why did that happen to me with LaMichael Pirine? These are running backs. Running back, quarterback, just a different ball game. Yeah. So Michael, he just kept calling it the Sonic Truth Dynasty Bobcast.
Oh, that's right.
It was just a little verbal thing, but it was funny. It was great. We kept it in, and now it's like a notorious
Bobcast, right.
It's like our most used station ID. Was the one that the guy flubbed because it was great. It was like that old MailChimp podcast ad where they called it MailKimp. And then they made it to Saturday Night Live. That kind of stuff resonates. It's funny. But Zach Taylor understands the power of the pass. So if you have a coach that understands the power of the pass, I'm a fan of your players, mostly your passing game players. And in neutral game script situations, especially with Joe Mixon on the field, where he's so versatile, they were just passing the ball with reckless abandon, which is exactly what you want for fantasy football. So that's the reason. The reason why is Uzoma's not a target magnet tight end. Mixon's not a target magnet running back. So that's why the number two and number three receivers on that team, wide receivers, are so attractive and such great values, and why I'm just trying to get all those guys, because I think that the Bengals are going to be better, but they're going to have to outscore teams. Their defense is still going to be below average. Mm-hmm. But you got to get ready for the Bengals to make a step forward. And if they take a step forward, and we think the Browns have one of the best overall rosters in the league, they're a very talent-rich, deep team, as is Baltimore. Now the door is open in the AFC North for the Steelers to finish last. The door to the basement is open, and the Steelers are walking down the stairs.
The Steelers with the worst offensive line in the league via our new tool up at
rosterwatch.com.
It went from like number, it went from like, I mean, they lost David DeCastro, Marquise Pouncey, and Villanueva all in one season.
Get ready. Prepare your body for that. And in Baltimore, Rashad Bateman is incredible. Get ready for Rashad Bateman. Looks like this year's Justin Jefferson, in that this is the year he emerges right off like week two or three. He establishes himself as the number one.
Wouldn't that be something?
Just very quickly. I'm not saying he's going to be Justin Jefferson. They're not going to throw the ball enough. Hello. Of course, he can't be Justin Jefferson because he doesn't have Kirk Cousins. He doesn't have that defense that was the most injured and shootout prone defense in the league last year. Their defense, by the way, got a lot better. Rick Spielman did an incredible job in the draft.
The
Minnesota defense, they're going to get back to Dalvin Cook running the ball. I don't think Justin Jefferson's a value this year for that reason, but if you had to pick the wide receiver that goes out and establishes himself as the team's number one right away, other than Jamar Chase and Devontae Smith, that guy would be Rashad Bateman.
Oh, and so you just mentioned Justin Jefferson. We can move to the NFC North, but just while I have you here on Mixon, are you guys taking Mixon above Antonio Gibson or Austin Eckler?
Not ahead of Eckler. No, because
are you taking him ahead of Gibson?
I've seen this before. This was crazy. I saw the same analyst. These you know how these zero RB analysts are, where they're just trying to
growing in number too.
Yeah, they're trying to pick off all the running backs and besmirch them, right?
Yeah.
So the I love this with Eckler. It was the Eckler doesn't have enough between the tackles touches. So his opportunity share isn't high enough to be considered a workhorse in quotes. So that's why you shouldn't be drafting Austin Eckler at the end of the first round, beginning of the second round. However, other running backs are great values because they're catching passes, and that's what matters.
What about these dirt balls that they pick later on?
What if this gets better? And beyond that, Damian Harris should be ignored because all of his touches are between the 20s and he's not active in the passing game. So I'm like, wait a second. If you just told me that the touches Damian Harris is getting are not valuable, then why am I heavily discounting Austin Eckler because he's not getting those touches? Like, make up your fucking mind, man.
No, I get it.
I understand that you're trying to craft a narrative against every running back in the league so you can start your draft wide receiver times six and flush your team down the toilet the moment that the draft is over. Yeah. I understand that's fun for you. I get it. It's cool. And you think you can just go get Mike Davis and there's no one else competing for Mike Davis in the waiver wire. Mm-hmm. I get it. Cool. Go do you, right? In your mind's eye, the team you're going to get on waivers with your waiver wire running backs is going to be, you're going to get the CJ Anderson from 2015. You're going to get all these guys and you're going to ride them to a championship in the second half.
Yeah. I get it the whole way.
Yeah. Even though you start 2-5, mm-hmm. you'll come back strong. You'll get your CJ Anderson, you'll get your Mike Davis and you'll be great. And it's going to be a fun way to really show
the rest of the guys.
Yeah. Thread the needle, right? You'll be able to thread the needle. You'll be able to shoot through the gap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the golfer who cuts off the par five, mm-hmm. the dog leg. I get it. You're trying to cut off the dog leg. And I know it's a low probability play. You don't realize how low the probability play is, but go be zero RB flag waiver zealot guy. But please leave Austin Eckler the fuck out of it.
The 2021 Roster Watch cheat sheet is available now at rosterwatch.com. The revolutionary cheat sheet to change fantasy football forever is back, only at rosterwatch.com. Winning fantasy players don't use outdated magazines or expensive draft software that's impossible to navigate. The Roster Watch cheat sheet. All you have to do is follow three simple rules. That's it. Three rules. Guys, it couldn't be easier. The Roster Watch cheat sheet. An expert quality draft is guaranteed as long as you follow the rules, the three simple rules that a toddler could follow. The sheet is magical, it's mystical, it is mythical. It is the Roster Watch cheat sheet, only at rosterwatch.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I get it. And shouldn't these zero RB charlatans and frauds be the ones that are pumping up Damian Harris with as affordable as he is in drafts right now?
They don't like any running back. It has to be a pass catcher in an ambiguous backfield who's being drafted around 15 or beyond. So the running backs they're drafting are Gio Bernard and James White. So they're fixated on Gio Bernard and James White. Okay. and they're gonna ride those guys early, and they're gonna get Mike Davis, and they're gonna make sure that, because no one else in their league is competing for these pickups.
Right.
No one else is bidding on these guys. They're gonna be number one in the waiver order because they're gonna be in last place, and so they'll get these running backs, and they're gonna roar back. That's the strategy. So it's funny that those teams don't end up winning leagues, but I mean, the narrative constructed around how it's going to work. I think you can see how smart people would fall for that. Like that it's fun. Yeah. It's like a fun game to play.
How hard can
I make this and still win?
It's what happens with every cult. It's literally what happens with every cult.
Zero RB is a cult.
I've said it a million times. We're talking about legitimate domestic terrorists. let's move on. Hey, so we kind of talked about the NFC North. Of course the title of the show is the most important storylines from each division. The NFC North. I don't know what you think is most important to me. There's a million things we could talk about. But what I zero in when I think about this is DeAndre Swift. Can his role grow at all this year? He's got a new caveman of a coach that's surely going to want to bite ankles and run the football and everything. But we all know that Anthony Lynn has made horrible donkey decisions in the past. Just about the offense in general. In San Diego, in Los Angeles, he didn't even want to play Justin Herbert until Tyrod Taylor got stabbed in the lung. I mean, he doesn't seem to make good decisions. There's been all the rhetoric about Jamal Williams being the A back, DeAndre Swift being the B back, even though that junk was, I feel like, taken way out of context.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think Mike Zimmer is an innovative coach?
Well, defensively, he was certainly thought of as an innovative mind for quite some time.
Let me rephrase the question. Do you think Mike Zimmer is an innovative offensive coach?
No,
right? You don't think of him, right? That's not him, right? You think does Mike Zimmer strike you the red Mike Zimmer, who is the color of this bandana? His face is the color of this bandana, right? I'm Mike Zimmer now, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah,
you need to put on some clear sport glasses too.
He is the guy with the raccoon tan line around his eyes.
Yeah.
And that's before he gets mad.
Yeah.
Right. So he's a ankle biting type guy, right?
Sure.
Sure, right?
But yeah.
Do you remember what happened last year when people were winning $1 million with Kirk Cousins as their quarterback in DFS? Do you remember what happened?
Let me explain.
That's a rhetorical question. What happened was their defense crumbled and their offensive line crumbled, and they had no choice but they had to throw the ball and throw and throw and throw and throw. So when they would go to Atlanta, it would be a 48-45 game. That's what happens. And it doesn't matter what he's saying to the media. It doesn't matter how he feels. Nothing matters other than the personnel on the field and the game situations these teams find themselves in. And it will force the coach. It'll force Brian Schottenheimer to throw in the first half of 2020.
Yep.
It'll force Mike Zimmer into a 7-3 pass to run ratio at points in the season. So the question is in Detroit, not who the coach is, but who the personnel is. And we know that the defense is going to struggle mightily to stop anybody. We also know their offensive line is a top 10 offensive line, especially in the run blocking department.
Yep.
With the Frank Ragnows.
I think we have him at eight.
And now they've added Penei Sewell, the best offensive line in the last 5 years. So the best offensive line in the last 5 years to add to Frank Ragnow in this quality run blocking unit. And they drafted a running back with the second pick in the second round last year, who was viewed by many for years as the best running back in college, like the most talented running back in college. He was the number one Devy pick for multiple years, DeAndre Swift. So this table is set for whoever the running back is in that offense with no receivers other than Tyrell Williams and Brashad Perriman and Quintez Cephas. Whoever is going to be the focal point of that running game is going to be set up to just absolutely hog opportunities and score copious fantasy points. And that guy's name is DeAndre Swift. And I'll tell you this, in no world where I see that situation playing out, is Jamal Williams going to get me off that guy? If I see a guy with a DeAndre Swift resume and this the team dynamics falling into place that we want for him to score from the 8-yard line on a red zone carry, for him to take a screenplay for a touchdown with Penei Sewell out there in space destroying two defensive players at the same time.
Yeah.
All of this is falling into place. And I'm supposed to not draft DeAndre Swift because they signed Jamal Williams.
And he's falling too. I don't know. I'm not sure an underdog, but you know, in some of these simulations, he's falling to the end of round two. Sometimes you can even get him at the beginning of round three.
Oh, he's a round three running back.
Yeah. So
he's a round three on underdog. He's falling to the end of round three.
Oh, well, see, I mean, that just goes to show you how differently I think about DeAndre Swift. And that's the thing, man. It's like it's the hipster.
He's a no doubter.
It's the hipster cool kids right now who are on the best
last size. Last year at this exact ADP, remember who was at this exact ADP with a very similar running back pedigree in college, same age, same everything. Do you remember who was at this exact ADP last year?
Same sort of pedigree.
Same color jersey, same everything.
Same. So it's a light blue jersey. Light blue jersey.
Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, JT. Okay.
So yeah. This was the member, and then the Marlon Mack. I don't know. And I was like, Marlon Mack is not going to get me off Jonathan Taylor in the third round. That's not going to happen. Right. And what was one of the cases for Jonathan Taylor?
And you even like Marlon Mack.
Active in the passing game with Philip Rivers, one of the best check down quarterbacks in the league. You knew he was going to be active in the passing game, and you knew they had the best guard in football. Well, you could argue the Lions have the best center in football and one of the best tackles already in football. And what's nice about Swift, and this is something that fantasy gamers, we give them the answers to the test, but we also show them how to fish. You're a fisherman.
Yep.
Is that we say, listen, like take a step back for a moment. Okay. Think about the types of quarterbacks that feed their running backs in the passing game. They're rarely mobile quarterbacks. So this is the case against J.K. Dobbins, that he's just not going to get the volume in the passing game to make him anything other than like a standard league guy that you're targeting. But DeAndre Swift, he has the least mobile or one of the least mobile quarterbacks. And this is something that people don't think about as much as they should. You have to love that DeAndre Swift's quarterback is Jared Goff. That when Jared Goff is under duress, he has no choice but to dump it off. Whereas when a Hurts, when a Lamar, when Kyler, when they're under duress, they can scramble.
Right.
So there's less targets that end up going to those guys. That's why when a Teddy Bridgewater is back there, or a Jared Goff is back there, or a Tom Brady, of course, well, there's a reason why Leonard Fournette's target share was so high in the second half and in the playoffs last year. Why was that? Why was his target share in line with Mike Evans? Because he has a statuesque quarterback. Think about the receivers that were getting the most targets the last 5 years. It's Alvin Kamara, it's Austin Eckler, and that was Philip Rivers and Drew Brees. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the quarterbacks that will stand in the pocket and dump it off. So just another reason, other than all the other situational and talent-based reasons, that we're bullish on DeAndre Swift.
What about for the AFC South? I think that whenever I look at the AFC South, obviously the Deshaun Watson, we could talk about Deshaun Watson, but I mean, who wants to do that? That's obviously a major, major, major storyline. I know that I was listening to your podcast with Scott Fish. You recently made a big dynasty trade for Deshaun Watson that I found pretty interesting, kind of a swindly trade between you two. Swindly?
What do you mean?
Just, you know, it involved kind of a Deshaun Watson. It involved your constant struggle to attain Tony Pollard. It was just a very, it was a very podfatherish trade there.
Well, what happened was, I can just give a little background on this.
All right.
I love Tony Pollard.
How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
I love Tony Pollard very much. And it also, Tony Pollard is an interesting case in that he does illustrate, he and Antonio Gibson illustrate how incompetent the coaching staffs are at Memphis. Or have been.
Yeah, man, really, it's really true, isn't it?
True. No. There's two coaches need to get fired. Whoever told Trey Lance that he needs to play cornerback or get lost at Minnesota?
It was PJ Fleck, wasn't it?
PJ Fleck should be ashamed of himself and never work again.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to do that because that was basically with Bateman and Tyler Johnson on the roster. They could have competed for a Big Ten championship. So that was really, really, really stupid. So that's number one. The other coach that really should be ashamed of himself is in Memphis, in that clearly Darrell Henderson, who was relegated by Malcolm Brown last year, had no business getting all those touches over Pollard and Gibson. And it makes me also question Kenny Gainwell and whether his volume was justified and deserved. So it also makes me feel better about Miles Sanders. I feel better about Miles Sanders because the league said, you know what, Gainwell has a real Memphis stench to him, so we're going to let him follow the fifth round. So for that reason, I'm all in on Miles Sanders. I'm not worried about Kenny Gainwell, because if you were good at Memphis, that means you're bad in the league. If you're bad at Memphis, that means you're good in the league. So I love Tony Pollard because he was bad at Memphis, which means he's awesome. You follow?
Yes.
So I'm going after Pollard because I think that, well, I don't think that. I'm pretty sure that the Cowboys are going to have the best offense in the league, partly because they have the worst defense. So you have a bad defense, a good offensive line, a great quarterback, and the best weapons at receiver that maybe have ever existed. So let's go, Cowboys.
Let's go.
So I was trying to get Pollard from Scott Fish, but then what happens is you start stacking assets to try to make a trade work, and you start growing and growing. It's called trade creep, right? Scope creep with trades, where the trade creeps and creeps and creeps. Suddenly,
what is scope creep?
Scope creep is in a project, like it's a construction term.
Oh,
where you think that you need to just put on a new roof, but it turns out you need a new chimney. And then because you need a new chimney, you also need a new foundation.
I'm doing this shit. I got scope creep going on this very fucking second with my deck out in the backyard.
Yes, a deck. That's a perfect thing.
I needed to fix two stairs. He opened up. He's like, this whole joist is rotten.
Yep.
He's like, let's pull up through. All the joists are rotten.
Yep.
And next thing you know, I have a new gutter system.
You need a whole new water management system.
Scope creep. I love that.
Yeah. Warm water management. You're fucked in every level. Yeah. Suddenly there's three backhoes in your backyard.
Yes.
Yeah. Scope creep.
That's great.
Yeah. Scope creep. It happens to everybody.
It's great. Yeah.
So, and this is trade creep. So where the trade just gets bigger and bigger to try to balance it out. But the kernel started with Pollard.
Right.
So that's how it happened. And then I ended up getting, it was basically Pollard and Deshaun Watson for Mixon and a bunch of other, it was a good trade. We liked the trade. It was a good trade. He wanted to win this year. I was just betting on 2022. It worked out really well. It was a hand in glove type trade.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. But I wanted to talk about AFC South, but as long as we're on the NFC East, like, I think that is an important thing. Can you just tell me, like, why it is you're so interested in Pollard and whether that – I know that was a dynasty league that we're talking about, but are you that interested in him in redraft this year? Do you think that they're such donks that they're just gonna play Zeke unless he gets hurt, because this is the first year of his contract – of his new contract? He certainly looks good in these TikTok videos he's putting up. People talk about how – I mean, the offensive line –
We want running backs that are going to absolutely smash – right? We want running backs going to be a real difference maker, a real competitive advantage. And there's only one of those guys that I can tell with certainty has that in his range of outcomes. Where if I told you, Alex, Zeke breaks his foot, okay, Tony Pollard is putting up 25 fantasy points a game, you wouldn't blink.
No, no.
You wouldn't even, that wouldn't even surprise you in the least if he was a top three running back in fantasy football. I don't know of any running back that has nearly that kind of upside in the event of an injury. So, number one, in the event of an injury, no one has more upside than Pollard. It's not even close in that offense. It's going to be banana city. Just so many points, just like a video game. But also, I think that they're going to play him strategically to rest Elliott and rest him because of the 17-game season and because he's getting older. I think there's going to be whole drives where Pollard is the guy. I think there's going to be situations like the hurry-up offense where they just decide it's going to be Pollard and hurry up. And now he's a guy you can flex in PPR regardless with, you know, a running back that can give a seriously, he's not as good as Christian McCaffrey, but situation matters. Whereas if he gets the starting job with no Elliott, then he can compete with Christian McCaffrey on a week-to-week basis in the fantasy points department, where I can't find anyone else like that in those rounds.
Yeah, I mean, in redraft, you can get him as you, literally as your running back five. I mean, it's like...
You got to get him. You got to get him. And just because we upside wins championships in a 12-man league, 12-person league, you know, your chances are less than 10% of winning, assuming everyone's equal. Well, this is the great sort of difference maker type player. And half of the running backs are going to miss games. So, I mean, yes, let's go. I mean, think of the running backs last year. McCaffrey missed half the season. Saquon missed half the season. And it happens. So it just happens. Now, it was cool to see Elliott show up in such great shape. That was cool because usually he looks puffy.
Yeah.
So to see him look sleek was cool. I like that. I like Elliott too. See, I also like Elliott.
I'm in on Elliott and I'm in on Pollard. But
you could be in on both.
And it's not like I'm a guy who's usually in on handcuffing. And like, I'm not in on both those guys because I want to handcuff.
I'm in on them
for like, very separate reasons. Very separate standalone reasons.
If I have Elliott, I'm less likely to draft Pollard because now I'm hedging, and hedging is for suckers, right? I'm not hedging. Man. So if I don't have Elliott, I want Pollard more. But I'm not a handcuffer at all. Like, right. I'm here to win. If I made a bad decision and Elliott goes down in flames, I'm not here for insurance policies. I don't have insurance on anything. If an accident occurs, I'm going to write a check. I'm going to pull out my wad of cash and I'm going to pay cash. Fuck insurance.
Well, you technically have to have insurance on your home. I do believe other than that, though.
Okay. That was, Alex, I understand there's regulations. You need insurance on some things.
If you get in a fender bender with Matt Kelly, expect him to pull out the wad of cash. And
yeah.
I just pay cash.
There's no need for insurance.
So we've been over the NFC South, the AFC West, the AFC North, the NFC North, the NFC East. Now we need to talk about the AFC South. And I think that
I wanted to say what the AFC South is. No one wants to talk about Houston because it's just, it's so ambiguous. No one knows what's going to happen. Deshaun Watson is just up in the air. It's all TBD. But Brandon Cooks is an incredible value if you recall the year when Deshaun Watson missed 8 games. I don't remember what it was. It might have been a broken shoulder or arm. It was something. Or no, he tore his ACL. Deshaun Watson tore his ACL like in his second year. And in the second half of the season, Tom Savage was the quarterback in Houston. And a funny thing happened. DeAndre Hopkins' fantasy point scoring went up. His catch rate went down. The catchable targets went down. His efficiency cratered. But his target share went from 30 to 40 because the backup quarterback can't go through the read progressions as quickly and is going to lock in on the alpha. This is how Cortland Sutton had such a good year 2 years ago in spite of just absolute worst case scenario accuracy from the quarterback. So it doesn't much matter whether it's Davis Mills or if it's Deshaun Watson. It's probably not going to be Tyrod Taylor for more than a few games till they turn it over to Davis Mills. Tyrod Taylor hurts Cooks in that the volume goes down. There's more rushing. So
But yes, Tyrod's getting old. He might not want to rush as much.
But Tyrod, he has a very weak throwing arm, so it's not great. I understand mm-hmm. that. But anyone else running that offense is going to feed Cooks no matter what. And it's this great fallacy that the number one receiver on the target pecking order is quarterback dependent. They're really not. So if Jordan loves the quarterback in Green Bay, Adams is still a wide receiver one. It hurts Lazard. It hurts Scantling. It hurts Tonyan especially.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Those guys are all nuked in a Jordan Love world.
I mean, just vaporized.
Right.
You know, so were you at that Jordan Love Senior Bowl? Were you at that one?
He was not that impressive. My favorite thing about that I was at that Senior Bowl. So Jordan Love was supposedly the big armed guy coming in, right? Remember?
Yeah.
Biggest arm in college football. And it was so funny because he totally wasn't at that Senior Bowl. He had a big arm. It was clear. But it was like just a different deal when Herbert would throw and it would have that extra carry, like a long driver.
He would push it.
The ball had this extra push out at the end, this extra carry that Love's didn't have. And so it was like, on the first day it was obvious. It was like, oh wow. Yeah. Jordan Love, strong arm. Good for you. But Justin Herbert, my God, man.
But I'm with you that I feel like Jordan Love could carry a wide receiver one. And yeah. Brandon Cooks is the wide.
So green light to draft Devontae Adams and green light to draft Brandon Cooks, because you're not going to get a guy that has the passing game to himself with speed. And
who's always
he
losing.
He finished with a flourish last year, and they're going to be behind every game. Yeah. Negative game script every
four game win total in a 17 game season.
it's the classic player that looks gross on paper.
Yeah.
Who ends up helping you win your league. Classic. It's the reason why a lot of these best ball squads you draft, the ones that look gross are the ones that win, because they'll have the guys that are just getting a 30% target share rolling out of bed.
Two more divisions. You got to roll out of bed super early to watch early football games in this part of the world over on the left coast. What about the NFC West? Anything stick out to you? Clearly, I think that probably the most popular storyline people would say is Shane Waldron, the new offensive coordinator in Seattle. Is he going to let Russ cook? What are they going to do? Do you have any thoughts about that or anything else in the NFC West?
I think that is a probability. And we've never seen Russell Wilson finish top 10 in the league in pass attempts or even dropbacks, but it could happen this year. And if it does happen, just get ready for it. You need to draft Tyler Lockett just in case it happens. You need to draft Chris Carson just in case it happens. Carson goes third round. Love him there.
Terrific. Right?
So yes. I if I'm sequencing a draft, you're probably going to go running back in the first round. It's also going to push a lot of quality receivers like Adams, like Ridley, like Diggs into the second round. So my most popular sequence is running back, receiver, running back. And I just did this in a draft. I went running back, receiver. I went Eckler, Diggs, Carson, Lockett, right? And then you come back with Russell Wilson. Another teaching how to fish moment is the work we've done at Player Profiler. Go to the article section, go to the analysis. There's a bunch of analysis on stacking. And it turns out stacking is a great tactic, not just for best ball, not just when you're optimizing your lineup automatically by the computer, but in general. You need to be stacking. You actually will get more fantasy points in the end of when the season's over if you had focused on stacking. And it's part of my no hedging policy. Not only am I not hedging, I'm aggressively trying to make bets on teams and individual stacks within teams. So Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett is my favorite stack, because Russell Wilson is still mobile enough to give you that rushing upside, but also he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks. He's going to go down in history as one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He's going to play forever. Just watch it all unfold. It's going to be fun to watch his career play out, and the number is going to be just incredible. And I think that they have to start doing him a better service and stop being cowards. And if you are, you know, telling your players to be tough mentally, then you need to stop being a coward and running the ball. And Seattle needs to stop letting teams off the hook. And I think that it's very possible that as they've seen this trend where the Chargers were passing the ball at an incredibly high rate last year, the Bills had great success, the Buccaneers had great success passing the ball at a high rate and using a lot of screen plays, especially with the Bucs, to instead in lieu of running the ball. It's becoming more and more popular. I think that that's part of why they made the move. I've heard the narrative that like Pete was mad that Brian Schottenheimer of all was running too much. I doubt that's the case. My thinking is he wants a new philosophy. He probably wants more analytics. And then they're backing that up by going out and drafting Eskridge. So the signals beyond, fuck the coach speak, fuck what the beat reporters are saying. The signals where the teams don't lie in the draft. They went and got Eskridge. They don't lie in their coaching hires. Yeah. So I feel like there's a 30% chance that they could just completely unleash Russell Wilson. He finishes top 10 in pass attempts. And if he finishes top 10 in pass attempts, then number one quarterback in fantasy is well within his range of outcomes.
Oh yeah. Easy for sure. And just, you remember he was just, oh God, he was just
right. If I'm melting our franchise
to start,
I want him.
Yeah.
I want him. So if there's a guy that can compete with, and last year, Mahomes wasn't the top quarterback in fantasy last year. It wasn't Mahomes. It was Josh Allen. So who's going to be this year's Josh Allen? Why not Russell Wilson?
Two of my favorite Senior Bowlers ever. Speaking of those guys, boy, what a Senior Bowl that was with Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins. That was quite
I wish I was there.
Soon enough, brother, we will be back down in Mobile doing it.
I'll be there. 2022, book it.
We have one division left. It's your division, the AFC East. Even though you are the king of the North.
I have 2 points on the AFC East. I want to start by saying one of the reasons why TJ Uzomah is getting this ADP bump is because no one ever writes about the Bengals because they have one fucking newspaper. Okay. And that newspaper is holding on by a thread. Yeah. Right. They have I'm sure they have donation drives to keep the newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Cincinnati Inquirer to keep it alive. Right. So that's the reason why there's not a lot of buzz. Why is there no, there should be more buzz about Ja'Marr Chase. There's only one newspaper.
Have you ever been to Cincinnati?
It's tiny.
Yeah. It's a pretty neat little town, man, but
it's a town just like Indianapolis is a town. It's not a city. Maybe technically, but not like a traditional city in the United States that we're used to. So of course there's not going to be buzz, but on the flip side, why do you think every Jets player other than Denzel Mims is getting hype? Because they have 17 newspapers and they're just, they descend on these camps and they have to have something to write about.
Oh yeah.
Big fantasy city, gamers are the perfect sucker for these, these media conglomerates in New York. Now all of a sudden Elijah Moore is the man. And Jameson Crowder could be a value. And don't forget about Corey Davis. And all these running backs look good. And Zach Wilson and his mom are going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait a second. This is not even possible. These are the Jets. What are you talking about? The one thing the Jets are decent at is defensive. They're at the point of attack. Defensive line, offensive line. And if I'm going to take a chance on anyone in this whole game, it's going to be the least – you want an ambiguous passing game, that's the Jets. We'll just take – maybe the most talented player who's also the most affordable is Denzel Mims. So fade the New York media machine, but you know, claiming that Denzel Mims is on the outside looking in. Shut up. You don't know, okay, what the deal is with Denzel Mims. So I'm going for Denzel Mims just based on betting on the talent, and Ty Johnson, who is the most explosive because Tevin Coleman is slow at this point. He was explosive, but he's been degraded. His fast twitch muscle fibers are leaking. He's leaking, you know, radiator fluid or whatever. So give me Ty Johnson in the final round in these deeper leagues. Why not? Right. That's what they're good at, running the
ball. Well, because he's just never been good in the NFL. I mean, Tevin Coleman has at least been good for a while, and he has some familiarity with that staff. I mean, Saleh obviously knew him from the time they were in San Francisco. He's a guy who they chose to bring in.
I know, but you're not at the end of the year. It's a 0% chance that anyone's thinking, okay, Tevin Coleman was the reason that I won this league. It's not happening.
But what about Ty Johnson? That's not happening.
Why not?
Because he's Ty Johnson.
Yeah, but he's 210 pounds. He ran a 4.4 flat at his pro day.
I know, and he's not been good yet.
And he was the best running back at Maryland. The reason why he wasn't playing more at Maryland is the big open question, right? But I wish he was better. But in college, I wish he was better. But last year, he showed flashes as a slasher and as a pass catcher. And I think there's a higher probability that he could help you for a full season than Tevin Coleman. Now, that's not the main storyline of the AFC East. I just wanted to make sure that I have my position clear on how I'm playing the Jets. I'm not listening to the news reports. I'm just taking the least expensive guys with explosiveness.
Before we move on to the final main storyline, let me just say two things. One, Matt and I are going to come up with some kind of bet for who finishes with the more fantasy points. Who finishes with 25?
I'm going to go Ty Johnson.
32 between Ty Johnson and Tevin Coleman. We'll figure that bet out.
It's probably going to be Michael Carter, but we're not allowed to take Michael Carter.
No. You have to.
If you can't take Michael Carter, then you're between the next two
options.
Guys.
The two bad options. But just with the Jets, I mean, they got the big unit, Mekhi Becton. They have Elijah Vera Tucker now. They just picked up Morgan Moses. That's starting to look like a better offensive line. There could be something to be said there for that running game.
I know, but the real question is, when is Mac Jones going to start? It's when. And Mac Jones is doing the thing that will ensure that you play, which is he is playing the game, right? He is a corporate quarterback, right? He is a political creature, this Mac Jones. He knows what the coaches want, and he is here to tell them what they want to hear and show them what they want to see. So he is going to play, right? And like I said, Keyshawn Vaughn is doing the opposite. Whatever the coaches want and whatever they think he should do, he's just not doing it and just saying, fuck you. So the other thing is, you go to the Senior Bowl, you look at Mac Jones, and you're like, oh, this guy has plenty of arm talent.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, he may be the fastest processor we've ever seen at the Senior Bowl. And he has one of the best seasons of all time in college. And it's not like he did it with Ruggs and Judy and Waddle. He didn't. He did it with only Devontae Smith, a 100-nothing-pound receiver who runs a 4.0-40. He made that guy a Heisman winner. Not just a Biletnikoff, the Heisman. Okay? He turned him into an all-world wide receiver by using his eyes, using his timing to hit him in stride on bubble screens and every type of route there is every single fucking time, Alex.
Yeah.
Because his ball placement and his processing is so good that he's undeniable. And he also is just as athletic as a lot of these other quarterbacks that are coming out now. Herbert and Zach Wilson. He has above average speed, burst, agility. This is not Jared Goff. This is not Drew Brees. This is not a stationary quarterback. He has tactical scrambling ability. So on every level, I think that Mac Jones is underrated. I think that the Denver Broncos and the Carolina Panthers fucked up not drafting either Fields or Jones. The Patriots got an incredible gift. It was like when the Celtics got Larry Bird, or I mean, unfortunately, Len Bias passed away, but it was like, this is a championship team with a championship pedigree in New England, and now they get the number one pick, right? This doesn't seem fair. How the hell did they pull this off, right? Well, how the hell did they pull off getting Mac Jones, who could have gone with the number three pick to San Francisco? I think that that conversation that Kyle Shanahan was having with himself was real. I think he was considering Mac Jones. So if Mac Jones is in consideration at three, falls to 15, someone made a mistake, because Kyle Shanahan is above average across the board. Everyone would agree with that. So now the question is, well, it's just when, because on the other end of that spectrum, by the way, Cam Newton's not here to play politics. He's not here to tell Bill Belichick what he doesn't care, right? He's here. He's doing Cam. He's been doing Cam his whole career. He's going to keep doing Cam. He's never not doing Cam. At no point do you ever see Cam and he's not doing Cam. Cam's doing Cam.
And as we weave together these storylines in our mind and come to our conclusion, we look that first New England is going to be at home versus Miami and Brian Flores, who certainly knows how to deal with Cam Newton at the New York Jets, who we know are going to be good for opposing wide receivers. But Matt talked about at the point of attack, Cam will have much trouble running on those guys. The same thing will happen in week three at home versus New Orleans. And finally in week four, Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come back home to Foxborough, thoroughly dismantle, and leave Cam Newton dismayed, to where Mac Jones comes in week five to start at the Houston Texans.
Get ready for it, baby.